The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Maundy Thursday is often overlooked in Holy Week. We have a relatively full church tonight, but it will be fuller, I think, tomorrow, and it will definitely be fuller on Sunday when we celebrate Easter. Maundy Thursday is overlooked. I kind of think of Maundy Thursday as Holy Week services go, kind of like having your birthday the day before Christmas, or even on Christmas. All of us know some child like that in our lives. It kind of stunk for them. They didn't get as many presents as everybody else did, and they certainly didn't get the attention that all of the other kids did growing up when it came time for their birthday. Maundy Thursday is like that. It's an important prelude to an important event. It's the day before Good Friday, but it is overshadowed by Good Friday. Good Friday takes a little bit more of the attention and glory, and rightly so, right? Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday. He atoned for the sins of the world on Good Friday. He rose on Easter Sunday. Paul resolved to himself preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. The cross of Good Friday is the symbol of Christianity. We have it on our churches, in our sanctuaries, in our homes, around our necks, and sometimes trace it over ourselves or have it traced over us. But it is a significant commemoration tonight, nonetheless, in spite of the glory seeming to go to these other holidays. Tonight, Maundy Thursday, is important. It is important because it precedes these things, but it's also important because of this lesson, which is unique to tonight. If you would worship the crucified Christ, Christ crucified on Good Friday, you should go to the Lord's Supper. That is our lesson this evening. We heard in the gospel lesson, we know the story very well, that on Maundy Thursday, the actual first one of Holy Week, Jesus was gathered in the upper room with his disciples to celebrate what? But the Passover. To celebrate that ancient great feast of Judaism, where they recalled their bondage in Egypt in slavery, and God's mighty hand and power to deliver them out of that bondage, freeing them from their affliction. We remember it well. Pharaoh had a hard heart. He wouldn't let the people go whenever Moses petitioned him, and each time the Lord gave the power to perform a plague, Pharaoh would relent, but then he would change his mind and say he would not let the people go. 9 times it happened, but then on the 10th, the final plague came, and it changed everything. The Lord told Israel, "Tonight will be it. Pharaoh's mind will be changed because I'm going to send my angel to kill all of the firstborn in every household in Egypt, wherever they are. Only those who take the lamb, the blood of a lamb, spotless, a year old or less, and kill that lamb, and put the blood over their doorpost and on their lintel, only they shall be saved from this destruction. When this happens, you will eat the lamb, you will leave nothing left, you will have the unleavened bread, and this will be a sign for you. This will be the Lord's Passover, which you will keep this night when it happens, and every year henceforth you shall mark it. Each year, Israel, after you are brought out of Egypt, you will keep this Passover, this Exodus meal, as a reminder of your bondage and slavery and a reminder of my, your God's, gracious delivery of you." And so it happened. They were brought out of Egypt, delivered from Pharaoh and his host. The Passover worked. And every year, Israel kept that Passover since then. But it was just a memory meal. The Passover from the Old Testament, even marking that great event as it did, was just a meal that symbolized something that happened in the past. All of that changed on Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday was a very big page turn for God's church, the people of Israel. The Passover itself didn't change. Rather, it became replaced. Replaced with a meal that was far greater, far more significant, did more, signified more, far more than the Passover ever did. After the Lord celebrated the Passover with disciples on Maundy Thursday, he did two things. The first, he gave a very, very short sermon. And I would say it this way. On Maundy Thursday, the day before Good Friday, Jesus gave the first Good Friday sermon anybody had ever given. With the words that he spoke to the disciples over the bread and the wine, he explained to them what was going to happen the next day. When he was crucified and his body was broken and his blood was poured out, it would mark a new covenant. It would be for the forgiveness of sins. But in addition to explaining what was about to happen to him a few hours into the future, Jesus also did this. He instituted a new meal for God's people. But not just a memory meal like the Passover was, no. Though he did say, "Do this in remembrance of me," with that meal that he started was something more than just memory, thinking back to a past event. The Passover meal, the bread and the lamb and the wine, the bitter herbs and all of the rest of it, that was just mere food with the memories. But now, with this meal that Jesus started, it was with bread and wine, also his very body and his very blood. The blood which he says is a new covenant. The blood which he says forgives sins. It is his body and his blood, and it does something. It gives something. On Good Friday, the next day, forgiveness was won on the cross. Atonement was made. But the sacrament which Jesus instituted on Holy Thursday, on Maundy Thursday, that's where the sacrament, where the holiness of Christ and his forgiveness is delivered, where it's given, won on Good Friday, given in the sacrament. There in the sacrament, here in his sacrament, which we celebrate this night, he gives us not a symbol, not a memory of his body and blood, but with the bread and the wine, his actual body and blood for our life and forgiveness. So it is obvious when we stop and consider these things, Maundy Thursday is not insignificant. Maundy Thursday isn't a forgotten child with his birthday before Christmas, but no, Maundy Thursday fits hand in glove with tomorrow, with Good Friday. The two go together and they are inseparable. If you, a Christian, would participate in the new covenant that Christ has made by his own blood, come to the supper. If you want to come to Calvary's holy mountain as a sinner broken by the fall, if you want to cling to the old rugged cross, then come to the Lord's altar and eat his body and drink his blood. Come tonight, and come whenever we gather together as his body when the supper is celebrated. This is where you will find Jesus and everything that he did on Good Friday from now until he comes again in glory. To him be all glory forever and ever. Amen.